praise the name of the Lord. Can you shout a very loud hallelujah? Shout it one more time, hallelujah. Shout it one more time, hallelujah. Shout it one more time, hallelujah. That's the fifth time. Shout it one more time. Six, hallelujah. Now you will shout one more time. Please bring everyone under the anointing as you shout this shout. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I just began to see chains. Bring them. Hallelujah means halal Yeshua. It means to bring honor and praise. I'd like you to bring them, please. There are people under the anointing. Tonight is a night with the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. Father, I pray tonight in this place, here at this crusade ground, let Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that you will set the captives free, O God, that you will turn lives around.
Olorun is turning things around.
There is no chain that will stand tonight. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now please listen to me. We are going to be seated shortly, but listen to me. The Lord is revealing to me that there are families here. It looks like nobody is able to rise beyond the level. That no matter how high you rise, there certainly is something that brings you down. Zechariah 1 and verse 18. What seest thou? And he said, four horns. He says, these are the horns that have lifted up themselves against Jerusalem, against Judah. I want to make a declaration in the name of Jesus that anyone across this crusade ground and all the overflows following online who has been a victim of the orchestrations of darkness, in the name that is above all names, as you shout that name, Jesus, the fire from heaven that is able to break chains, open up doors, in the name of Jesus Christ. At the count of three, I want you to shout that name. If God be God, that chain lets you go now. One, two, three, shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. Please bring them out. Tonight is a night that he must let you go. Someone open your mouth and begin to release yourself in the name of Jesus. Please pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Shake off those chains. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Take your hands off my ministry. Take your hands off my family. Devaradu shalakaruta skudevaratu ziyata.
command those chains broken. There is no power that fights the saints that will survive tonight. It is in the name of Jesus that we come. Keep praying in the name of Jesus. Chains of death, chains of retrogression. You must bow to the name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, blotting out every handwriting and every ordinance that spoke against us. He said he nailed it to the cross. We want to silence voices right now that speak. Was it not the voice of Abel that spoke against Cain? And even though he was dead, that blood still spoke. In the name of Jesus, that everyone here who is a victim of the ill speakings of the realm of the spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree and declare upon you right now, Kapari Kepa. From the front to the back, the left to the right, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, we command those voices, silence now. Silence now. Hallelujah. Please listen. There are two things I want you to understand tonight. Number one, this has nothing to do with some jamboree of men of God. God is in a serious business. Because some of you have fasted, some of you have prayed. You've said, Lord, arise for me. Let me tell you, this God answers prayers. So, is coming, my deliverer is standing by. Your deliverer is coming, your deliverer is standing by. Hallelujah. I'm hearing a name, Asabe. We'll be seated shortly. Who is Asabe? Asabe, this is what I'm hearing. I don't know whose name that is. Asabe. Please let there be a protocol person to help them too. Madam, where are you coming from? Huh? Is the mic working? Is it working? Mama, look at me. You believe in Jesus.
Amen.
I want to pray for you.
Yes.
This captivity that I see over your life, the Lord is telling me to cancel and silence that captivity. I stretch my hands right now by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Everything that does not name the name of Christ, I decree and declare by the rod of a higher priesthood out of your life now. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, release this woman's destiny and let her go free. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for all of you who just came out of that name. I'm just ministering by the Spirit of God. But I want to pray. There is someone you don't hear well with your left ears. Right now, that ear is open. Right now, in this place. Check yourself. Check yourself. You're deaf right now. Check yourself. What is that? Confirm that person. Is that the person? Check yourself. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Deafness of all sorts, leave right now. Wherefore God hath so highly exalted him, the Bible says, and hath given him a name that is above every other name. It says that at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I declare for all of you who are out here, in the name that is above all names, every situation that you came, in the name of Jesus, I declare, be free right now. And I command every foul spirit that is not of Christ, in the name of Jesus, let it live your life, your family, release them now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please, if they can, let them return to their seats very quickly. We are going to be seated shortly. Tonight is the night of the Spirit. I'm seeing 21 people. I see the number 21 in the realm of the Spirit. And the Lord is saying the grace for the prophetic. Some of you have prayed it. Please listen to me. Some of you are men of God. The seeing eye and the hearing ear. That grace is coming on someone right now. I stretch my hands right now all over this crown. Everyone who should step into that level, I release you. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This man, are you a pastor? Lift your hands. You pastor your own church? What church is that? Huh? That's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing you from Jos. I'm seeing you from Nasarawa State. Where are you coming from? Huh? You're coming from where? Look at me. Where are you coming from? That's what I'm asking. Lafia, Nasarawa State, your life is about to change.
Yes, sir.
Look at me. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands. Let grace come upon you that will shift you to a new level in the Spirit. You will return back into a strange ministry of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oil is coming on your head. This man with kaftan. Oil. Take that grace now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please help them. Don't just bring everyone under the anointing out. We may not have enough space. Grace. That man, you lifting your hands. Please just stay where you are. In the name of Jesus, step into a new level. Take that anointing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace for you. Grace for you. Grace for you. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can't do ministry in the strength of the flesh. These two ladies in this second minister's role, I'm seeing oil being poured on two of them. Where are you coming from? Please stand here. Come. What do you do? I'm seeing light from her to you. What's your relationship with her?
She's my husband.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Your wife and your daughter. Three of you lift your hands. Because this family, you know how it works for Prophet Agabus. The entire family. This is a grace that is coming on three of you. Take that grace, fire upon all three of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. As a family, you step into a corporate grace. Signs, wonders, miracles by the Spirit of God. Please open your mouth in 1 minute and say, more of you, O God, in my life. Lift your voice and pray. please lift your voice and pray. Let there be a hunger and a desperation in your heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, the Bible says.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We didn't even have time to greet. Good evening, everybody. God bless you. Please be seated. Pastor, thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor again. Please be seated. There's something God is doing in this state. There's something God is doing in this city. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we allow him find expression. This is not for any self-aggrandizement. This is towards kingdom come. Please be sensitive tonight. We'll be here for a short time. But I know that there is hunger. I salute every man and every woman of God, every minister of the gospel here, laboring in this city in word and in doctrine. I honor you for what you represent. May the Lord truly bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that God will find a people from this crusade that will be able to host superior dimensions of his presence. More than ministry, more than preaching, more than that you become a vessel that is unto honor, that God will be able to trust you with the keys of nations, trust you with the keys of territories. There are gatekeepers over territories, not just cities, territories.
So let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Let hope rise.
Darkness
trembles in your holy light.
Hallelujah. I want to teach on a subject very briefly tonight that the Lord placed on my heart. Again, I believe that this will open us up to very, very superior dimensions in the spirit. There is someone. It's like you do not walk well with your left leg. Who is that person? Is there someone like that in the congregation? Because a miracle is about to happen here now. Walk. Walk. Don't be afraid. Walk. Madam, lift your crutch. Come. Lift it up. Come. Are you seeing miracles happening here? Look at, she's surprised. Look at this. Where was her crutch? Lift it up. There is a name that is above every other name. Madam, look at me. She came with this crutch. Hold on. You came with this crutch. You could not walk without it. Look at this. In the name of Jesus. Everyone on a wheelchair or everyone on a crutch, I speak to you by the Spirit. Stand up. Stand up. Walk. Walk. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every kind of bone condition right now. Miracles are happening. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Look at this. The woman is even surprised. Check yourselves, all of you. Check yourselves. Begin to do what you couldn't do. Come on, just
Is this, look at miracles happening. Someone is coming. My God. Listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare by the spirit of faith that this oppression of darkness, there is someone behind. Is it that you're completely blind or you don't see? Right now, as I'm praying, you're going to see a flood of light. After that, your eyes will open. Please find that person. I rebuke that blindness right now. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Something is happening there. A miracle is happening at the overflow. Jesus, Joyce, are you giving Jesus praise?
Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Let hope, let it rise in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. What is that?
Tala shalakos kebrahaskia.
Some crutches. Someone is up from a crutch or a wheelchair. Bring them out. Celebrate Jesus. There's a crutch there. Lift it up. There's a miracle right there. Look at that. Look at that. There's a miracle right there. Joyce, are you celebrating Jesus?
Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your
heart. Lift the cross and come. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise.
Hear me. Everything that is not straightened in your life and your destiny, I stand by the grace of God and I declare unto you, from this night, let it come into divine order. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I stretch my hands upon all of you. And I declare that the devil that is back of these infirmities, let that spirit be cursed now and forever. You return with perfection. And no devil in hell will bring this thing back to your body again. I declare this miracle sealed forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is showing me, I'm seeing two ladies. You know, the Bible talks of the issue of blood. Whether it's your cycle or not, you even came here with the issue of blood. Check it now. It's gone. Check it right now. Check it right now. You will marvel and wonder at the power of God. Check it right now. It's gone completely. Am I wasting your time tonight? Check it now. I am seeing, there is a lady here. You came here with lump. Very significant lump on your breast. Check it now. You see that it's disappeared. It's gone completely. I want you to check it. Confirm it right now. Confirm it right now. We're about to be seated shortly, but confirm it right now. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ of God, the Son of the Living God. What is that? The issue of blood is gone. My God, look at this. How long? Give her the mic.
I've been for more than a month now.
How many months?
For more than a month, I experienced it like
look at
7 years back.
What's happening to her? In the name of Jesus Christ, listen to me. All of you, you don't have to put the mic on her now. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God, I decree and declare, my dear, look at me. I curse the devil that is back of this. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. It goes now and it goes forever. It says, behold, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. Jesus said it. He was not lying and he was not joking. Behold, I give you power. Hallelujah. Some of you, listen, as you are watching this thing, you are not just watching a man manifest. There is a transference of this grace and this unction. You will return back to your assemblies with strange manifestations of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you. Please return back to your seats rejoicing. Let's sit down and have a few minutes with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Many times when the water is stirred, it becomes very difficult to just bring the congregation back to order. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight I want to do a little teaching the Lord has stirred in my heart. To do a little teaching about the Holy Spirit. It is important that we understand the Holy Spirit. It is important that we understand the Holy Spirit. It is important that we understand the Holy Spirit. He is the force behind everything that we celebrate today in this kingdom. And I'm praying that the few minutes that I'll be sharing, talking about him, that God will open up our eyes that we may see. Someone is going to shout loud under the anointing. That is the spirit of death leaving that family. This is what I'm saying. The spirit of death. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? And there were four riders, and I saw the one who rode upon the pale horse. His name is death. I decree and declare, every family here appointed unto death by the spirit of life that raised Christ from the dead, I declare that death passes over you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Help us, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Now, let me start tonight by quickly saying that, theologically speaking, there are words that you do not find in the Bible, and yet the Bible makes reference to them. One of those words is rapture. There is no mention of the word rapture in the Bible. However, we know based on the authority of Scripture that an event is going to happen where those who are alive in Christ, the Bible says, will be caught up to meet with him in the air, or those who are dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, the Bible declares, will meet with him in the air. So even though there's no mention of the word rapture, we know that there is an event called rapture. One of those words again is the word Trinity. You never find the word Trinity in Scripture. How be it? The Bible lets us know that the God that we serve is one God, but that he manifests himself in three persons. It's important you understand this. Scattered all through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the reality of the triune nature of God has not been kept in the dark. For instance,
The Bible lets us know from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the Bible says, verse 2, now the earth was dark, void and formless. Then it said the Spirit of the Lord hovered round the face of the waters. So we see the Holy Spirit revealed there. And verse 3 says, God said, the Hebrew there is in plural, Elohim. The singular is Eloha, and Elohim said, light be. Hallelujah. You get to verse 26 of Genesis 1, and God said, let us, not let me, let us. So we see scattered through scripture. Another expression is, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word one there does not mean singular, it means unity. Our God is one Lord. And then we see through the ministry of Jesus that once upon a time Jesus is with John the Baptist. And the Bible says Jesus as the Son of God came out of the waters. Then the Holy Spirit as a distinct personality came upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven that is not of Jesus nor of the Holy Spirit spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. So we see that this is proof of the reality of the Trinity. The final proof is with Stephen in the Bible. The Bible lets us know that when Stephen, one of the deacons who was assigned to serve tables, he was about to be martyred. And the Bible says that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Then he looked into heaven and he saw God and Jesus standing at his right hand. So we see that all through scripture, even though the word Trinity is not mentioned, the Bible is very clear about the existence of the Father, the existence of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the existence of this mysterious personality that the Bible calls the Holy Spirit. He is the first of the Godhead revealed in scripture. According to Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2. And everywhere creation was about to happen, we see the Holy Spirit finding expression. Please listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit has been probably one of the most misunderstood personalities, especially among believers. There's a myriad of controversy, doctrinal differences around his person, around his ministry, around his office. This has been an age-long controversy among denominations, among individuals, among men and women of God, among theologians, among institutes of religious studies. Who is this personality called the Holy Spirit? Why is he so important? Why is he the emphasis of preachers? Everyone who shook their generation in power made reference to this personality. Regardless of tribe, regardless of educational qualification, if they ever did exploits in the earth, they made reference to him. Even Jesus himself walked and lived as though he was powerless until this personality came upon him. The Bible says he was driven of that spirit into the wilderness. And after 40 days, your Bible declares that he returned in the power of the Spirit. This was a personality that empowered weak people in the Old Testament. They were weak, some of them feeble. But when they encountered him, he turned them into signs and wonders. What is it about the Holy Spirit that the devil fights? What is it about the Holy Spirit that the devil does not want the average believer to know? Lend me your attention for a few minutes as we explore scripture by way of summary to reintroduce for many of you and then to introduce afresh this personality called the Holy Spirit. He is so important that Jesus spent chapters in the Bible talking about him. Chapter 14 of John, chapter 15 of John, chapter 16 of John, Jesus continued to emphasize the necessity of this personality. It was that same spirit who birthed the church that we now celebrate. The Bible says, having spent 40 days with Jesus after his resurrection, mentoring them, he ascended to heaven. And then they stayed 10 more days. And now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, that they were gathered together and with one accord, suddenly there was a sound. The same sound that Ezekiel heard in chapter 37. When that sound came, the Bible says it filled the whole room. Then they saw what looked like cloven tongues as of fire. It came and sat on every one of them. Your Bible declares that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And these men, as ordinary as they were, they turned the world upside down. We cannot lose the heritage of the knowledge of the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This great city and this great state, the plateau, is at the mercy of this personality called the Holy Spirit. More than secular knowledge, more than business acumen, if we ignore the ministry of this personality, we will only continue to recycle our tragedies again and again. The Holy Spirit is master over darkness. Every time there is darkness and confusion, he is the one sent to do something about it. So when we live in times of darkness and confusion and chaos, we need him like never before. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Word of God. The word spirit. This is a crusade tonight, and so we're not going to spend too much time doing a lot of theological exegesis. The idea is just to bring the basics that help strengthen our convictions, and then we pray. Hallelujah. But the word spirit comes from the Latin word spiritus. The Hebrew is ruach, and the Greek is pneuma. It's an idea of breath. The essence of the word means breath. Hallelujah. These were attributes that the Bible told us was represented in the person of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, let me answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Who exactly is the Holy Spirit? Some people believe the Holy Spirit is a bird. Some people believe the Holy Spirit is an eagle. Some people believe the Holy Spirit is fire. Some people believe the Holy Spirit is an anointing oil. Some people believe the Holy Spirit is wind. Other people believe the Holy Spirit is some archangel. There are all kinds of understandings about the person of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Bible declares to us that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not like God. The Holy Spirit is not one of those angels. He is not inferior to God. He is one of the Godhead, co-equal in every sense. The Holy Spirit is God. Number two, the Bible declares to us that the Holy Spirit represents the presence of Jesus on earth today. This is very powerful. The Holy Spirit represents the presence of Jesus on earth. He is the manifestation and also the revealer of the presence and the power of God. Please look up. When you give your life to Jesus, as we call it, the new birth experience, you do not pray to the Holy Spirit because it is not in his office to administer salvation. There is no other name under heaven, the Bible declares, given unto men by which we must be saved. So it is in the office of the Son of the living God as the Redeemer. However, the personality who answers to that prayer
living in you today is not Jesus. Jesus is in heaven seated. The real person, Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in honor. Are we together now? The extension of the presence of Jesus to the saints today is the Holy Spirit. That means everything Jesus was in his earth walk, the Holy Spirit is to us today. A continuation and an extension of the presence of Jesus. You have to understand this. That means the real way to get the Holy Spirit's presence in a place is not really to talk about him, is to exalt Jesus. He was mandated to reveal and glorify Jesus. That means everywhere Jesus is revealed and everywhere Jesus is exalted, the Holy Spirit shows up in honor. So when you acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus, it is the person of the Holy Spirit that comes in honor to that salvation prayer. Are we together now? When you heal the sick in the name of Jesus and you declare that someone on a wheelchair or a blind eye or a deaf ear, you are declaring in the name of Jesus. But the personality that comes to reveal that love and that power of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit represents for us today the continuation of the ministry of Jesus. He is the revealer and the extension of the ministry of the Holy of the ministry of Jesus. Are we together? Number three, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit is not wise, he is the wisdom of God. He represents the wisdom of God to the saints. Number four, permit my speed, please. According to the authority of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. The author of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. The Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. The Bible says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what they wrote were not just their opinions. There was an influence behind all that was written in Scripture. Holy men wrote, they did the writing, but the influence behind what they were writing was the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. If you can see it and it's projected, can we read together, please? One to read. How many scriptures? How many scriptures? Regardless what was told, even if it's a historic account, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that by them the man of God may be mature. The next verse says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. Please listen very carefully. Christianity is truly not a religion. Of course, sociologically speaking, when they mention the religions of the world, they squeeze in Christianity there as one of those myriads of practices. I think there's about 4,000 religions as we know now. I don't know whether new ones have come, but the last time, there are about 4,000 religious practices on earth today with people alive who are practicing them. Christianity is not a religion. It's an experience. God did not call us. Religion is man's attempt to find God. Christianity is an experience of the life of God at work in man, the reality of fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. This is very important. It was the Holy Spirit that birthed the church. The saints and even Jesus did not ignore his ministry.
And so it will be to our peril today if we ignore the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit is a real personality. It expresses the attributes of his personhood. For instance, the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit has a will. The Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit has intellect. I wish I had time to work on this, but let's touch on a few scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, please help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says, but all these worketh by one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a real person who has a will. Are we blessed? This is very important. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. His emotions can be tampered with. That a person can grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit manifests attributes of intellect. Romans chapter 8, please, and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. The Bible says, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 10 and 11. Is God speaking to someone? The Bible says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth. That is intelligence there. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us. So the Holy Spirit can search. He can search the mind of the Father and bring to our lives that which is consistent with his counsel. Now, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What is it about? The Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. A threefold ministry. Number one is his ministry to creation. Number two is his ministry to unbelievers. Number three is his ministry to believers. The Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. For many years, we have been taught that the Holy Spirit only has a ministry to unbelievers and to believers. That is not accurate. The Holy Spirit is the life force of creation. When there was chaos in Genesis 1 verse 2, he was the first that was released. And God said, light be, on account of the presence, the hovering presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life force of creation. If you withdraw the ministry of the Holy Spirit on earth, it's not only men that will die, creation too will die. You have to understand this. The Holy Spirit does not just sponsor the life and the continuity of men. He is responsible. He is the life-giving force. I know that biologically speaking, we credit life to several factors, but according to the authority of Scripture, the Holy Spirit does not just sustain mankind alone. He is the life-giving force that sustains the entire creation. Are we together? But my emphasis very quickly is his ministry to unbelievers and then to believers. What is his ministry to unbelievers? John chapter 16, we'll read from verse 7. Jesus is teaching and he's now introducing them to the person of the Holy Spirit.
Nevertheless, he said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. When he is come, the Bible says, he has an assignment to reprove the world. Listen carefully. The first ministry of the Holy Spirit to the fallen man or to the world as we know it is the ministry of conviction. What is conviction? He brings them to a point where they see the need for the Savior. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That means when we are in a crusade ground like this, it is more than the words of a preacher. It takes more than the oratory or the eloquence of a preacher to bring people to Jesus Christ. We can sing, we can dance, we can give a very classical exegesis of scripture, but the Holy Spirit must be behind what we are doing, convicting sinners, bringing them to a point where they recognize the love of Jesus Christ. When he is come, please leave that scripture, verse 16, now verse 8 or 9, he says he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9, we are reading to 11, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, and then of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts people. Listen, we live in a territory where we continue to pray that God would upgrade the level of morality and excellence within our territory as far as living useful and fruitful lives are concerned. Are we together? Some of us are here, we are members of parliament, we are governmental people, and we continue to enact policy after policy to see to it that we bring the average young man on the plateau to a point of decorum and discipline and order. It takes more than political policies to get the moral excellence of a territory. We must honor the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What prisons cannot do, the Holy Ghost can do in one night. What the police station, now I don't downplay these institutions, they have their roles, but I'm saying they are limited. What even a preacher cannot do, almost every man of God seated here will tell you there is at least one person in his church or his assembly that he's trusting God to straighten his life in some way. And there are parents today who are almost having high blood pressure. They have employed all kinds of skills to bring their children to decorum and discipline. Hear me. The Holy Spirit is the only authorized personality who truly has the power to convict. Can I surprise you? Not even miracles, signs and wonders can bring that conviction. There are many people who saw the dead rise in the ministry of Jesus. They saw the sick. You would think after a few of the miracles and the manifestation of the power of God here, someone should be convicted. But you will be surprised. The Holy Spirit. I have seen people in my life and in the ministry, I have read of people in scripture who had dramatic encounters. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost came, and without anyone preaching to them, some of them ran to look for pastors and say, what must I do to be saved? Hear me. If we do not restore the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm afraid to say there will be trouble in the plateau, because there is an onslaught of darkness capturing teenagers and young people. Are you aware of the hatred people have for spiritual things? Our young people now believe it is marketable to hate God. December 31st into 1st of January, I was in this city. And myself and a dear brother who is a medical consultant, there was a need to pass around an area in the night. And then
I was driving myself, and then he needed to go to the pharmacy to get some drugs, you know, and administer to patients. And while I sat in the vehicle alone quietly, I saw, now I'm not being sarcastic, I saw lots of young people. It was about 10, maybe a few minutes to 12. I almost thought there was a crusade happening somewhere. I was so happy. I said, this is wonderful. Look what God is doing. But I noticed the way they were dressed, they were looking. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. This is my state. So I'm not a foreigner coming to speak to you. We're in this together. I saw people holding bottles of all sorts of things. I said, what in the world is going on? What is the meaning of this? Young boys, young ladies. I said, any responsible child should be in church by this time or in his house. This is how we were raised. What are you doing by past 10 loitering around a risky street with terrorism all around? And I said, we need the Holy Ghost again. We need the Holy Ghost again. Otherwise, a generation will rise that will resent God and even kill those who love God. But may God forbid that on the plateau. In the name of Jesus Christ. The average young person right now is more interested in internet and apps than the presence of God. I'm not being sarcastic. In church, while a fiery sermon is coming, a destiny altering sermon is coming, here are people distracted, laughing, commenting on the pastor's shoe, commenting on the pastor's hair. Something is wrong with our convictions. And if we do not trust God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can flog our children, we can write nonsense about them, it still will not change them. Only the Holy Ghost has the power to bring anybody to his knees. Is God speaking to us? Seated right here on this crusade ground, there are many parents who are bleeding because they are getting old, but there is no responsible person out of their sons. Some of them are in their 40s, 45 years, they are still at home, inconveniencing parents that spend their entire lives to take care of them. Calling a board meeting and criticizing them will not change them. Insulting them and saying you are a useless son, you are a useless daughter will not change them. Leave them to the ministry of the Holy Ghost and watch the master over darkness break their pride. I am telling you, some of those wayward boys you are seeing are apostles. Some of them are prophets. Some of them are evangelists. Let me encourage someone. Mama, don't cry for too long. God has come to answer you. That child you are thinking is a rejected stone. Some of them are on these crusade grounds listening to me. While they want to pay attention to the things of God, here comes these funny friends coming to distract them. Mother Mary, you know, they try to insult the ladies and make them feel stupid for loving God. Your ringtone rings and it's a Christian song, they laugh at you as though you are outdated.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
To the manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, let me tell you. Days are coming on the plateau. Hear me, I'm speaking prophetically. When people will be walking on the street and Jesus will appear to them with a stick of cigarette on their hands, with whatever kind of drug, people will be in prisons and Jesus will come and say, I am the one the preacher you were laughing at was talking about. The Holy Ghost cannot be ignored. He is the solution to the decadence of any territory. Hallelujah. Please listen to what I'm telling you. There are people who come to church. I'm not being sarcastic. They play instruments like this. Once they are done with their special number, they don't sit in church to listen. They go outside behind the church and they are gisting while the message is playing. When it's time for their special number, they quickly come and jump around and sing. That's what happens when he's not in a place. How about those who sleep while service is going on? A 1 hour service, you can't listen to the word. But after service, you are seated and gossiping for 3 hours at the back of a car. It's a spirit. I hope you still love me. Something is wrong. This is not the heritage we were given. No. Those who brought this gospel to us were serious people. They came with fire. They brought the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You would be listening to their tapes and you are shaking, not knowing what is shaking you. It didn't matter whether they were preaching in Hausa, they were preaching in a tribal language, they were preaching in English. In fact, even if you didn't understand what they were saying, the fire that came from that tape will arrest you there. Oh, we need to restore his ministry again. Conviction. Not condemnation. Conviction. There were times when someone will stand and sing a song, and while he's singing, people are crying. Not because the song is making you cry, the presence that came from that song. You will leave that crusade ground. You may not remember the whole song, but the part you remember, you will sing it for weeks. That song will refuse to die because of the power that came from it. Right now, you are done singing, and people forget the song even before you go down the stage. Something is wrong. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convict. Look at the way we have to beg unbelievers to come to church. Are you aware of the way we have to plead with people? We coerce with them. I beg you. I am a pastor. Try my church. What nonsense is that? Did the Bible not say Gentiles will come to your light? We were never given assignment to beg sinners to Jesus. No. There is a power of the Holy Spirit called anakazo. It's a compelling power. It can draw cities to a point. This is the heritage that our fathers brought to us in this nation and in Africa, and we must trust God for a restoration. Sunday morning, the streets are empty because everyone is on his way to the house of God. When there is a program like this, people are not just loitering around. While the preacher is preaching, they are outside there, maybe smoking or drinking and commenting on the message, saying, "Kai, I'm touched," while they continue what they are doing. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Please say after me, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we allow you to come afresh upon plateau state. Lift your voice and pray 1 minute. Oh, let your ministry come again. One more time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Upon the plateau. One more time. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. That we'll get to points where, as a pastor, you are sleeping and 5 a.m. someone is knocking your door with all his friends, and you are almost scared, thinking they are armed robbers, and someone is saying, "Pastor, open that door. I don't know what is happening with my life, but I need Jesus fast." Conviction. The Holy Spirit. Conviction is not condemning people all around. That will not bring change. Conviction is bringing them to a point where they see the reality of the love of Jesus. Hear me. I made up my mind as a man of God
that every time God gives me an opportunity to speak the word of God, there has to be someone there who should be saved. It's impossible to have a crowd like this and say everybody is born again. No. The Bible says, and the Lord added to them daily, not monthly, as many as should be saved. Plateau State, there are still souls that are not saved. Let me tell you this. Whether we argue about it or not, a day is coming when Jesus will return. It's not a very popular message, but let me drum it again. A day is coming. We will wake up one morning and find out that this life is being rolled away like a curtain. It will be a painful thing to be in heaven and see your loved ones in hell, simply because we did not allow the convicting power to change them. Some of our parents right now are old. Honestly, they have less than 10 years. And yet, regardless all we are doing, they've not been convicted in. We need to trust God for grace, that there will be such a move of the Holy Spirit across all the local governments in this state, that the news will carry that a strange phenomenon is happening in Plateau. It's becoming a trend for people to break down and tremble at the word of God. On Sunday, before the door is open, people are standing there praying and saying, "Preacher, where are you?" The Holy Spirit. Is God speaking to us? It was the Holy Spirit that granted men grace to shake nations as individuals. Men like E.M. Bounds, Charles G. Finney, they would enter cities and turn it upside down. The power of the Holy Spirit. During the World Revival, that was all the news that the newspaper was carrying. And people will open the newspaper just reading about what was happening and fire upon their lives.
There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening.
The Holy Spirit has a ministry to unbelievers. He's the one who brings recognition of the need for Jesus. Can I tell you this? If the Holy Spirit does not show a sinner his need for Jesus, there is no amount of eloquence that can bring the sinner to see the need for Jesus. It is a supernatural thing he does. And oh, what a joy that whilst I'm speaking, he's already bringing that recognition to several people here. And somewhere in this meeting, we're going to quickly make an altar call. And I know that many people will run to come and say, "Jesus, I am here. I am here." The global harvest is a mandate and a responsibility we cannot fail. Our fathers went through and they ran with this baton and they've handed it over to us. We are not the ones who will fail. I encourage every great servant of God within this city, we must fan the flames of evangelism once again. It has nothing to do with just a church affair. Plateau must know again that there are people who are alive and that the Holy Spirit must be allowed through music, through ministry, through whatever kind of ministry, introduce the Holy Spirit. We can fall down and stand up and yet not be saved. We need conviction, genuine conviction. Are we blessed? Very quickly, what is his ministry to believers? Many of us here are believers, and let me just touch a bit on his ministry to believers. The Holy Spirit has a number of ministries to believers. Number one, his first ministry to believers is the ministry of activating your spiritual senses. The Bible calls it being alive unto God.
Some of you, the things that you now embrace, you once laughed at. You saw people praying in tongues, you laughed at them and said, what nonsense is this? And yet today you are the one praying with all your heart because your spiritual senses have been made alive. The Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of the spirit. He cannot discern them because they are spiritually discerned. That which is flesh, the Bible says. That which is spirit. Please pay attention. He activates your spiritual senses according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Number 2, his second assignment to the believer is the revelation and the understanding of scripture. It is the assignment of the Holy Spirit to open up scripture to you. If you read scripture without the Holy Spirit, you will be reading a novel. You will be reading a storybook full of controversies. At the end of it, you will just come up with theological arguments about what did not join with what. It is the Holy Spirit who brings the light and the life of scripture to you. Are we blessed? Number 3, the third ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saints is the ministry of guidance and direction. John 16 verse 3. Guidance and direction. John 16 verse 3. Please help us. Let's rush so we can end in good time. It says, verse 13. 16 verse 13 I meant to say. John 16, 13. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Bible says he will guide you. And he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you. So the ministry of guidance and direction. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. That thou shalt hear in thy ear that this is the way. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not be able to be guided. There are some things that experience cannot teach. There are some things that age cannot teach. There are some things that education cannot teach. There are things that look like they are good until they destroy you. It takes the Holy Spirit to provide the ministry of guidance and direction. Are we blessed? The fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saints is the ministry of renewal and transformation. Renewal and transformation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, to permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is a belief system you must sustain to excel in life. A belief system that is not a derivative of culture. A belief system that is not a derivative of your past experiences, good or bad. A belief system that is consistent with the character of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Renewal and transformation. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech thee, brethren, it says, by the mercies of God, that ye offer your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. He calls it your reasonable act of service. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, is the Greek word aeon, the thinking pattern that comes with this age. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is powerful. Transformation is the process that makes you like Christ in experience. That is what we call transformation. The name given to the process, the transitory process that makes you like Christ in experience. Let me tell you this. You know you are transformed when it's difficult to associate you with an earthly territory. That they look at your life and they do not know whether you are Yoruba, whether you are Igbo, whether you are Hausa, whether you are from the plateau. The limitations that come with your territory that should be an obvious sign in your life have been eroded through the excellency of a transformed mind. People shouldn't see you and say, you behave like them. You are from there. Say, I said it. No. We've been called out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. If that is true, the excellency of a superior belief system must be at work in you. You see, all the territories in Nigeria, respectfully speaking, with no exception, they come with their limitations, they come with their advantages. There are territories where you find the men irresponsible. There are territories where you find out that there's anger and aggression. There are territories where people exalt the things of this world above Jesus. There are territories where people exalt the mind. All of these are limitations. When you come to Christ, there has to be a recalibration of your spiritual understanding so that your life now reflects the culture of the kingdom. Not the culture of an Igbo man, not the culture of a Yoruba man, not the culture of a Northerner, not the culture of a Plateau man. There are healthy aspects of culture, morality, respect, and all of that. But there are destructive aspects of our sociological context, and we must trust God for grace through renewal and transformation, and that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to this dimension where we are transformed. I was talking with someone earlier today, and I told him I'm from this state, and he said, "You are from this state? Is that true?" I said, "What do you mean by that? Didn't you hear my name?" And he said, "No, it's not true." Now that has to be your testimony. When people see you and say you are behaving like the way you are acting, I'm suspecting, and they get it right, not by prophesying, just the evidential manifestation of the flaws that come with the territory. No. Remember that the disciples, even though they were Jews, they had been with Jesus to the point where even when they wanted to lie, that they didn't know him. They were so transformed that not even their lie could bail them out. Peter wanted to lie that he did not know Jesus. He said, "No, there is a way Jesus behaves." Peter, you are no. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. One more and we're done. The last ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saints is the ministry of empowerment. Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1 to 4. Please give it to us as we prepare to round up. I did say this morning, or was it yesterday, that the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the anointing. The administration of spiritual power resides within his office. You cannot ignore the person of the Holy Spirit and walk in genuine spiritual power. This was the messianic prophecy. Theologically speaking about Jesus, and now by extension to us the saints. Here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It starts with the Spirit of the Lord. For he has anointed me. The word anointed means to ordain, to legitimize an operation. The Spirit of the Lord, he had ordained me to preach good tidings. Please look up. It takes more than a good message to preach good tidings. It takes the anointing. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We have so many of them in our world today. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of prison to them that are bound. Isn't it interesting, brothers and sisters, that there are people who are moving, they look free, but in the realm of the spirit, they are literally bound, bound in prisons. You know you are bound when the only thing that grows in your life is your age. Nothing else grows in your life. That's bondage. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn. It takes the anointing to comfort those who mourn. It takes more than an empathetic heart. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, giving them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the Bible says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the oaks or the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The ministry of the Holy Spirit supplying spiritual power. Hear me, every territory has demons. Yes, sir. Every territory has controlling powers. The spirits that
become the mind control systems, manipulating people within that territory to think a certain way, to behave a certain way, sabotaging their potentials in Christ. Psalm 66 verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways. It is through the greatness of thy power that thy enemies shall submit themselves to you. There are forces in every territory that fights the program of God. Man of God, the attack within your church is not just about membership. It is a spirit seeing that you are doing much for the kingdom and wants to raise an arsenal from darkness. There are spirits that come to families and want to destroy the unity and the peace there. It takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just when you are about to rise as the breadwinner of a family, so that God can use you to wipe their tears, these evil spirits come and capsize everything that is good. We need the power of the Holy Spirit on the plateau again. We need to stamp out the gates of darkness, the gates of terrorism, the gates of evil. Let me tell you, the church has that kind of power. Are we blessed? Yes. We need to trust God for power to heal the sick. We need to trust God for power to reveal the possibilities that are in the kingdom. Let us not make God look like a nuisance to civilization. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. When your child returns with a result that is an evil report, after spending money paying school fees, he returns as if he did not go to school. It's more than counseling. You need to introduce the anointing of thou anointest my head. Thou anointest my head for God's sake. There is something the anointing can do in the life of a man. Please hear me. Dear servants of God, it is not the location of your church that is the issue. Because where the carcasses are, the Bible says there the eagles will gather. If men can go to a village and look for a herbalist and turn back to enter, and not even say this place is ugly, there is no excuse. What it takes is fire. Someone shout fire. Yes, sir. By the time real, genuine, apostolic and prophetic fire burns upon the altar. That you come to the home, there is fire burning. In church, fire is burning. Even in the office, it looks like you are just signing files. But whilst you are signing, Shakasko Pata, Ebreketoski Data, you are sanitizing the spiritual climate over that place. And any man that beats his chest and says, I'm the principality over this territory, over my dead body, then they will know there are envoys disguising themselves as civil servants. But in the realm of the spirit, they are prophets and apostles with fire. Please hear me. God is raising a people. You don't have to be a preacher on the pulpit. Just carry fire. Are we together? You are a doctor. Let your anointing cooperate with your syringe. It takes more than a syringe to help lives. You get to a point where you know by discernment that this one is not just a medical issue again. This is witchcraft. You drop that injection, shut the door. I didn't just study medicine. I carry fire. You're a businessman and they think the only thing you talk about is money and real estate. And as soon as they shut the door, you say, sit down, John. How did you know my name? Say, don't be carried away by my career. I am a witness carrying fire. Yes, sir. Listen, we have to do something to Satan on the plateau. It doesn't matter what church he goes. As fire drives him from one church, as he's landed somewhere, another fire is lifting him.
someone shout fire. And in case he thinks he's just in church alone, comes for cell group or cell fellowship, another fire is burning there. We need to restore the ministry of real, the genuine anointing of the Spirit. All the gimmicks that people play around is simply because we have downplayed on authentic fire. Hallelujah. They look at you as a lady and think the only thing in your life is just a beautiful face. And you tell them, do not make that mistake. More than what you see, there is a prophetess behind that face. There is a genuine fire. You are working in the prisons. You are not just getting drug addicts and all of those people. You are working in a rehab center. Those guys need more than just therapy. One day you shut that place and say, the spirits that are frustrating these guys, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Listen, it is not difficult to turn this state upside down for Jesus, but it starts when we individually carry genuine fire. Terminus, fire. Dadinkoa, fire. Mention some places. Fire. That's right. Elatos kabrandagata. Shegete prekatikata. Not only on Sunday, on Monday, fire. On Tuesday, fire. On Wednesday, fire. On Thursday, fire. Listen, when this happens, I tell you what will begin to happen on the plateau. The first thing that will happen is that the spirits that are at the back of people, making them to do things that are frustrating the state, that spirit will have to leave. All of a sudden, you will see prayer groups rising up that have no name, just young people gathering under a tree. Shakatakata. And you say, what group? They say, it doesn't have a name. It's passion that brought us under a tree. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's not about some appetite to start ministry. All of a sudden, you go to an area, instead of having a group of smokers and drunkards, because there is fire, the Holy Spirit will convict a young man and say, no, I've not been listening to messages for nothing. Let's start a prayer. Let me tell you something. There will be prayer chains in every region on the plateau. You hear what I'm telling you? No names. A group of young boys will say, it's enough. We can't just sit down and watch this. There is a lot of drunkenness. We have mapped this city and we have seen that certain spirits were allocated to this region. Let's start meeting together every Thursday. What is the name of what we are doing? We do not know. All we know is that we are here to frustrate the council of darkness. You begin to pray 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You hear that death rate is going down and you now say, so this was not a natural death. There were spirits eating on people. Listen, was it not the apostles that were caught in Acts chapter 12? The Bible says, but prayers were offered daily. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. The day you return home and say, Mama, I came from church. Say, that your church again. Say, no. I came with a grace for favor. My pastor spoke that grace. And while you are speaking, someone knocks the door and said, the arrears for 30 years that was not given you is coming in one day. Nobody will question your Christianity again. They give you a new name in that house. Whether you are called in ministry or not, they will call you pastor. We are going to pray. We didn't come to waste our time this night. The Holy Spirit is responsible for empowerment. You go to bed
suddenly you have a funny dream. In that dream, you see what the Bible says should not be. You don't just sit down and say, Pastor, pray for me, I will wait till Sunday. No. You remember that the Holy Ghost, you stand up, wear your priestly regalia, Zakatos, Tebrata Sobarakata. Listen, I'm challenging you. Ensure that every territory where you live, make sure there is something about God that sustains fire there. If there is none, consult with your pastor. What can we do here? There is no fire in this region. There are beer parlors, there are pubs, but there is nothing here. Hear me, my dear fellow young people. Respect elders, but don't despise your grace. You may be young, but there is something God can do through you. One day you will organize an evangelism, not just to dance around, serious evangelism. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers. You will be surprised. I was told of a crusade that happened somewhere in just not too long. And I think one Baba came out to preach. And while he was preaching in Hausa, I was told. And fire fell on that place. One of the DPOs, I was told. And that man came out to give his life to Christ. A non-Christian. That's what the empowerment of the Spirit can do. Let's not allow the devil destroy the heritage that has been built for many years on the plateau. Are we ready to pray? Prayer point number one. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Fall on me. Fall on me. Shastaras kabarakata. Shale baratoskia. Fall on my church. Is someone praying? Anointing, fall on me. Fall on my family. Fall on my music ministry. Fall on my dance ministry. Fall on my concerts. Fall on my wife. Fall on my children. Please pray, please pray, please pray. Fall on the youth. Anointing. Fall. Fall in Badinkoa. Fall in Taminos. Fall in Bukuru. Fall in Zom. We pray in the name of Jesus. The fire of revival. Fall afresh. Shalakata Pandaka Poskadesh. Fall on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. You are going to mention every parastatal that you can remember on the plateau and say, Holy Spirit, invade those systems. Invade the government house. Invade the judicial system. Invade the marketplace. Is someone praying? Lift your voice and cry. Please cry. We are really praying. We are really praying. Everyone pray. Let our markets be invaded by the Holy Ghost. Let our banks be invaded by the Holy Ghost. Come on, they are praying priests in Joss. I know there are men of prayer. Where are those who know how to hold the four horns of the altar? Pray. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. You are going to pray for every church on the plateau. Whether it's your church or not, does not matter. Call it by name and say, Father, fire, fire. Lift your voice. Mention the churches. Mention the NGOs. Mention the mission groups. The mission agencies. Lord, we stand as a coordinated spiritual force. Fire. Mention all the ministries. Capro, fire. Navigators, fire. All the women groups, the youth groups.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last prayer point, and I just speak over your life and we're done. Hallelujah. Please do not miss tomorrow. Remember, we've been emphasizing tomorrow. Tomorrow you will come with your prayer requests. Come with a heart full of fire. We will send fire from this ground to the heavens over the plateau. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 32 and verse 15, last scripture. I perceive that there are certain men of God, God will put burdens in you. Aside from what you do on Sunday, God will give you the grace to start putting programs within territories. Not just one of programs. Programs that draw the attention of the youth to sustain fire within that place. When he gives you that prompting, don't be afraid. You will not fail. God is with you. The Bible says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, then the wilderness shall be counted for a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. The last prayer point is not for others. You are about to pray for yourself. Everything that looks like a wilderness in ministry, barrenness of result, bankruptcy of a spiritual consolation, God of heaven, let the Holy Ghost come upon my life, invade my life, and turn every wilderness to a fruitful ground. Lift your voice and pray. Financial wilderness, be turned to a fruitful ground. Prophetic wilderness, apostolic wilderness. Invade my life, oh God. Invade my life. Hallelujah. Listen. Please don't be tired. We will not exhaust the time. But hear me. We don't serve God just because of things. We serve God because we love Him. However, God designed that while you serve Him, there must be consolations to your Christian experience. Do not bend into that narrative that you will indefinitely live serving the genuine God and He will not sort your life. That's not the God we serve. We don't serve God, I repeat, because of things. However, you will serve God better when you pay your children's school fees. You will serve God better when He gives you your own house. You will serve God better when your children are serving Him with you. Is someone ready to cry? Holy Spirit, send to my life the consolations of redemption. I lift my voice in prayer. I love you more than money, but send me help from heaven. I love you more than ministry, but do something in my ministry that gives me a consolation. I love you more than influence, but in the name of Jesus, let me rise to
superior dimensions of kingdom influence. I love you more than children, but send children to this barren family. I love you more than branches, but expand this ministry for your name's sake. I love you more than cars and houses, but give me the comfort that will allow me to serve you. Please pray, pray, please pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There are some of you, you love God with all your heart, but the reason why you always go to church late is because you have to struggle to find a means of transport. God is not so evil to keep punishing your commitment like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. There are some of you, you love God and you've been serving Him even though you don't have a child. Yet God is able to do that for you. It is better to serve God when our needs are met, so that those distractions that interrupt your prayer can go. As a man of God, imagine that God raises strong pillars, financially and otherwise, to stand by you, so that you focus on the ministry of prayer and the word, not the distraction that these things bring. Please, we'll still pray again in 1 minute. Don't keep quiet. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Send me help. Help that transforms my life. Send me help. Send help to my church. Send help to my destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I once read about a man of God who loved God with all his heart. Sincere man of God with integrity and the fear of God, but he desired the grace for signs and wonders because the work was being frustrated. There were no results, and he went to people and people said, don't worry, the most important thing is you are true. That looks like a sincere message, but you believe that kind of message, you will suffer and it will look like God did not call you. One day he got angry and he locked himself. He said, Lord, you called me. Where is the signature of your call upon my life? True story. He cried unto God until an angel came to him and said, I was sent from heaven. And an impartation happened in that room. And the Lord gave him an instruction to organize a crusade. He was shaking because he had never prayed for the blind, the sick. The last time he did it, he was so disappointed. But now he was anointed. I'm telling you that the rain of miracles that happened there, people who forgot him and didn't remember him, all of a sudden news went round town that God is doing something with a man. Others said, no, he went to get power somewhere. He said, that's your business. Keep criticizing while I produce results. A day will come, people will look for you. I want you to believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. It makes ministry easy. I want you to believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. It will bring help easily for you. Let's be very sincere with ourselves. You will need men to rise for you, but those men will not rise for nothing. There has to be a grace from you that God uses to solve their problems. And they can vow and covenant and say, it was you that God used to bless me. For the rest of my life and the rest of my business, I will not leave you hungry. The power of the Holy Ghost. Let preachers no longer live frustrated lives on the plateau while they serve God. And then people look and mock them and say, instead of you to get a good job, you went to the vineyard, and make you feel stupid for serving God. There is a consolation to our Christian experience. Are we together? Please, as you return back home, I challenge you.
I want you to cry before God. Your heart is right. Pray for genuine fire upon your life. Authentic grace. It is the cure for competition. It is the cure for malice and hatred. When you carry genuine fire, if Joseph was not blessed, he would have killed his brothers the day they came. There is something about being consoled by God. It can make you even look at people who hurt you and say, it's all right, no problem. All these needless quarrels that are in families is because you've not risen enough to erode the pain of yesterday. There is a way God blesses you. You can call all your brothers and say, it's all right. You don't need to say, sorry. This fight has been for 20 years. Let's settle now. Let's not let our children get into this battle. But once you are poor and you are broke, you will keep remembering the pain of 1971 as if it happened yesterday. Poverty is a wicked thing. It makes you remember yesterday. Are we together? So we must go back and cry unto God. Send consolations to my life. Give me rest. Rest that gives me focus. I'm tired of fighting battles without rewards. Send a consolation to my Christian experience. Now, very quickly, let me make an altar call like I did yesterday. There are people here who need Jesus. We are not going to waste time. Jesus Christ himself is inviting you to a new experience. We have just 2 minutes for the altar call because we have to wrap up. Please, wherever you are, and Jesus is telling you that tonight is the night. Wherever you are, I'd like you to leave your seat. I will count 1 to 5. Run like there's fire on the mountain and come and stand here. It's time to win that war of destiny. 1, 2. Celebrate them, Plateau. Win that war. Don't let your friend keep him down. Leave him alone and come to Jesus. 3. It doesn't matter how far, even those of you who are outside, it is for salvation, allow them come. 4. Keep coming. Keep coming. Run to Jesus. If you're joining them, please quickly rush and come. I want to pray now. If the Holy Spirit is telling you that there is something wrong and you need to join them, quickly come. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, don't let your friends tell you why you're coming. You came on your own. God bless you while you come. Thank you for the courage while you come. And friends, don't let the devil use you. If someone is coming, encourage him. Don't tell him stop. The Holy Ghost is still speaking to people. Are you winning that war? Or do you want to return back the way you came? Nobody will force you, but look at your life. You know you need Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible says, whosoever will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. It doesn't matter how your life has been. We're a family of faith, and we're willing to stand in partnership with the Holy Spirit to welcome you. Someday Jesus is coming back, and it's our joy to not just be there alone. We want to see you there and rejoice that it was worth the while walking in the earth. Join them. Come. Some of you are the only breadwinners of your family. Some of you, you are the only one. Your mother has been praying and fasting for your salvation.
because no one else is interested in the things of God. Come. I salute every one of you. Now, a card is being given to you. You would notice. Yes, hold on, please. Don't feel it yet. Just look at me. I want to lead you through that prayer. And when you are done praying, are you going to ask them? Okay, fine. When you are done praying, you will be led by a group of people just very briefly. And then you'll be given a pen to quickly fill this and you'll be back to your seat. Lift your right hand as we pray this noble prayer. Jesus is here. I want you to pray it loud and clear from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word. I declare my need for Jesus. And this night, I hand over my life to you. And I receive your own life. I declare that from today, the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of the grave is broken over my life. I am a recipient of the life of God. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare that from today, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you. We present to you the ones that Jesus died for. It's an honor to watch you do this miracle in our midst again. I declare by the authority of scripture that your sins are forgiven. And I declare that the nature of the flesh, the nature of sin is broken. Help that lady. Broken over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. The power to live a victorious Christian life. I decree and declare that that power comes upon you. I commend you to the ministry of the word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the maker of men and destinies. May he make your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. From today, I decree and declare that you begin to walk in the newness of life. Free from guilt. Free from condemnation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A big congratulations. Now, you're going to have a few. There are counselors waving their hands. All of you, please look to my left, which will be your right. There are counselors. Appreciate them as they all move in concert. Let's celebrate them very quickly. Celebrate them very quickly. Are you clapping? Hallelujah. Now, please, just a final word on tomorrow, and then I'm done. Tomorrow is going to be fire in this place by the grace of God. I want you to invite everyone you truly know and love. Do the work of an evangelist. And then remember to come with your prayer requests. We are going to be agreeing. It's going to be a corporate anointing. All the vessels of Jesus who serve him in this city, we will stand as a united force and declare the name and the praise of Jesus Christ. I'll be sharing with you something briefly tomorrow. And then we are going to be praying for the sick. I'm going to be prophesying over your life. And we'll be lifting the name of Jesus over the plateau. We will dethrone principalities and powers. Every name that does not name, that is not the name of Christ, that has been exalted over this city, we must tear it down tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come early. What time is tomorrow? 5 on the dot, you should be here. Come early so that you can get a good seat. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. In Jesus' name I pray.